The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Gift of Understanding.
Thanks for your questions, but keep filling that question box. Our present meditation is on the gift of understanding. This gift, in a profound sense, is the most practically, I underline, practically important of all the seven gifts. Time and again, our Lord told his disciples that you're not only to believe, but they are to understand what they believe. Except for the words, many people do not understand what understanding the faith means. I thought I'd bring a copy of the New Testament with me and just briefly read from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It's our Lord gave the parable of the sower. Let me read the whole parable and then concentrate on the first part. Jesus said, "A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on patches of rock, where they found little soil and sprang up straight away, because there was no depth of earth. As soon as the sun came up, it was scorched. Having no roots, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked. Others fell on rich soil and produced their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, anyone who has ears." Then when the disciples asked our Lord to explain the parable, his explanation, "You therefore are to hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom without understanding, the evil one comes and carries off what was sown in his heart. This is the man who received the seed on the edge of the path. The one who received the word of God on patches of rock is the man who hears the word and welcomes it at once with joy. But he has no root in him. He does not last. Let some trial come, or some persecution on account of the word, and he falls away at once. The one who receives the seed in thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this world and the lure of riches choke the word, and so He produces nothing. Finally, the one who received the soil in rich ground is the man who hears the word, understands it. He is the one who yields the harvest and produces now 100-fold, now 60, now 30. Over the years, I'm sure I've either lectured or spoken on this parable at least 100 times. The word understanding and understand occurs twice in the parable. It first occurs when Jesus says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and the first seed fell on the pathway. The birds came along, picked up the seed. Then, to explain, Jesus says, those typified by the seed falling on the pathway are those who, having received the word of God, fail to understand it, fail to grasp it. Then the evil one comes along and steals the word of God, their faith sown in their hearts. And then, before closing the parable, Christ repeats, the ones who receive the word and understand it, they are the ones who yield a harvest, 100-fold, 60, or 30-fold. No words of mine can either say enough or be clear enough to emphasize how crucially important is this gift of understanding. We said, in a profound sense, this is the single most practically important of all the seven gifts. He will ask three questions: the what, the why, and the how. What is this gift of understanding? It is, I keep repeating, the supernatural gift which inclines the mind to see what is believed in the following ways: to grasp the meaning of the truths of our faith. This gift makes the intellect grasp the nature, the inner essence, and what God has revealed. In a word, this gift makes what we believe intelligible. I've taught too many students for too many years. My own graduates, 25 years in teaching theology. Bright men. Our exams are always all exams. Final exam at the end of 4 years of theology was a 2-hour grilling all examination. And all these now priests have to do is explain what they were taught and tell their examiners what they understood by what they were taught. I cannot tell you how widespread is the neglect of this gift of understanding. First then, the gift enables us to grasp the meaning. Secondly, this gift enables a mind to see these revealed truths more clearly. Who we use words, but how few minds really grasp first the inner essence or meaning, what those words mean, and secondly, to see the faith that we profess clearly in my favorite synonym for clarity is distinctiveness. Take a simple truth like the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. By the end of the 16th century, and Luther, an apostate priest and monk, abandoned his faith. He stopped believing what the Catholic Church for 1500 years had taught as a real presence. By the year 1600, as I've said so often, by 1600, there were over 200 interpretations among the Protestants of what the expression real presence means. There were over 4,000 Protestant denominations in the world, and this is the single main reason for these thousands of denominations. From 200 interpretations in 1600, and over 4,000 interpretations of the meaning of Christ's words at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood." And, as I've said more than once, called by the Holy Father twice, 86 and 88, ordered, do everything you can to restore the understanding of the word, the understanding of the real presence among Catholics in your country. Because your Catholics in America have become so highly Protestantized. Amen. You know, because most of our seminaries in the Catholic Church in America have been closed. Do you hear me? You know, because, as I've said before, 104 parishes in Chicago and Detroit archdioceses. Another reason. There are a thousand reasons. This is the main one. To understand deeply the meaning and clearly what clearly does the word real presence mean. God is present everywhere. is Christ, the living God, present everywhere. I noticed the sweatshirt of one of you. Is it on the back of the shirt? The Eucharist is Christ. Does the man still have the shirt on his back?
Said Jesus is
Eucharist. Is it on your back now?
No.
Wear it as often as you can. And it says, what does it say?
It says, Jesus is Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Amen. It's worth my coming to Chicago just to see that on a sweatshirt. This is the main reason I know exactly what I'm saying for the widespread loss of the true faith. All Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Episcopalians, you name them, they all profess to believe in the Eucharist. But what do they mean by the Eucharist? I repeat, over 4,000 interpretations of that one word. Clarity. How we need a gift of understanding to grow in the depth of understanding what we believe and the clarity. And especially, as I keep repeating, the English language, the most confused language in the world, that, pardon me, is an infallible statement. Understand our faith clearly. Be able to distinguish. Now, Christ is present in the Eucharist from the way the second person of the Holy Trinity was present in the world before Mary told the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." And the moment Mary pronounced those words, the God who had been, who had to be present in the world which he created. Otherwise, there would have been no world, no Nazareth, no angel, no Mary. Began, get the verb, began to be present on earth as the incarnate God. I've struggled not only with priests. My main task for 30 years with the Holy See is working with bishops. How they need this gift of understanding. What? We're still on the what. What does this gift of understanding give us? It gives us certitude, conviction. What a difference between believing and believing with firm certitude. The English word conviction comes from Latin conventione, which means to conquer. Our faith conquers our minds. If we don't let go, no matter what the price may be, and the price as I've said, and I'll keep repeating, the price for professing the Catholic faith today is nothing less than a living martyrdom. Mr. Lord, I'll spend a little extra time on this meditation. The gift of understanding enables the mind to not just believe deeply to know the meaning, believe clearly, believe with certitude, but believe in such a way that we can defend our faith. Let's be honest, this is the church militant. And the warfare we must constantly wage is defending our faith. And, strange language, the first enemy, what a statement, the first enemy of our faith is our own proud intellect. I keep repeating these outstanding heretics of our age, Aeschylax, Amon, and Amateur McBride. Oh, they wrote books, but underneath the writings which they published is a doubt, in spirit, a single, fully deliberate doubt on even one truth of our faith deprives the doubter of the virtue of faith. It's gone. And we have heretics in high places, and well I know. To defend the faith first, before our own proud intellects. But defend the faith against the so widespread, learned, publicized opponents of the true faith and within professedly Catholics within the Church. As I keep telling people, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Cromwell, they're heretics. But at least they were honest heretics. They left the Catholic Church. I say, thank God. But now we've got these Luthers, Calvins, and Zwinglis profess to be Catholic. Teaching our schools. In charge of our universities. Controlling our catechetical programs. Am I clear? The gift of understanding gives us the grace from the Holy Spirit to defend our faith. Now why? The why is answered by Christ Himself. Because unless we understand what we believe, the devil assures there was a demon, the devil will rob us of our faith. I say this with complete conviction. Never in the history of Christianity have more Catholics been robbed of their faith than in the 20th century. Why? Do we need the gift of understanding to be able to preserve the faith against the shrewd? Why? Widespread, powerful minions of the evil state. And hear it. Everyone, even those, not to say denies, what Christ has revealed is an agent of the devil. Do you hear me? Why do we need the gift of understanding to remain faithful? Oh, how casually we can pronounce that adjective, faithful, and not realize how crucially important is the faith Paul's fullness. And I repeat, for 30 years now, my principal work on the Holy See has been to assist members of the hierarchy, priests, and the laity to understand their faith. And finally, and most practically, how? First, we must be strongly motivated. We must be convinced that this is the will of God. Faith seeking understanding. And that, not coincidentally, is the Church's official definition of theology. Theology is the science of understanding the faith. Well, let's be clear. We are to grow in our understanding of the faith, but we shall never comprehend the mysteries we believe. We are comprehend means fully understand. As I have said so often, heaven must be eternal. It will take an eternity to begin to grow in our understanding of what God has revealed. And even in heaven, at the beatific vision, we are to grow in our understanding. I've got 12 answers to the question how. I'll be short to make sure we cover all 12 and provide time for confessions. How do we grow in this gift of understanding? By reflecting on the truths we believe. Five crucial T's. Take time to think through what you believe. Take time to think through what you believe. My favorite definition. My favorite definition of meditation. Meditation is thinking about what we believe. Of course, in the presence of God. Needless to say, I am giving you, pardon me, an order. From the end of this retreat on, spend some time every day to to meditate. 15 minutes, an absolute minimum. Better a half an hour. You have to split the half an hour, split the half an hour. But think. Think about what you believe. And the most obvious object for meditation is the gospel. The gospel for the day's Mass. You won't expect this, but before this retreat is over, I will fax from my Jesuit order the scripture readings for the rest of the year. Okay?